Welcome, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Show, Two Straight Up. We're going to have a great show, and we're brought to you, as always, by...
By ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Want to go, there are a lot of great articles about this whole reopening push and the rallies, and what, you know, the problems with getting information and transparency issues, I guess, involving Jared Polis, one of the sites we check every day. Hey, and before we go any further, I want to have a big thank you to all the folks who have been subscribing to us on YouTube.
Yeah.
We really appreciate that. And it's important because in this kind of digital age now, we need to hit 1,000 followers. We got a ways to go before we can start carrying stuff like on our phones, right? We can go to events at some of the rallies that we've been having. So thank you to everyone who has. If you haven't yet, we'd sure appreciate it. And as always, just check us out at chuckandjulie.com.
Yeah, and I ask you all your office mates and
strangers on the
strangers,
street.
We don't care.
But then we have social distancing,
though. But just hitting that like button doesn't cost anything, doesn't it? But it gets us up to that 1,000 person goal. And we are getting up there.
Yeah, we're getting there.
So, all right. In the meantime, in between time, this last weekend was an incredible election. Cory Gardner got nominated by 96%.
Colorado Republican Assembly.
And they had it virtually. The big race everybody was watching was the Republican committeeman race, who's the college representative to the RNC. And it became a real battle royale between the establishment and the grassroots. Usually the grassroots doesn't do all that well. They usually get cheated out at the end. But this time, it was beyond the ability for them to cheat it and lie and cheat. They tried to add people later and everything else. And at least the chair, Ken Buck, wouldn't let them do it, except if everybody consented to it. And of course, people didn't. But we've got on here the victor royale, Randy Corcoran, who won by over a 2-1 margin.
Like a bazillion, that's right.
Unbelievable victory. And there's been three great grassroots victories in Colorado. One was Dan Mays in 2010 over Scott McGinnis. That turned out to be a disaster.
We don't like to talk about that, Chuck.
Well, the other great one was Steve House beating Ryan Call, and Steve House just became an establishment guy shortly after getting elected. But now we have the third one. I think this one's going to stay for a long time. So I'd like to welcome to the show 710 KNUS radio host and Arapaho Tea Party leader, Randy Corcoran. Hey, Randy.
New Republican National
Convention! Well, even though I am in general opposed to forced vaccinations, I just want you guys to know I have received my anti-establishment vaccine.
You'll need it.
And it takes several months for that to kick in, which is good because I don't actually take office till the end of August.
There you go. Why don't you explain to folks who two things, who may be listening and maybe not from Colorado, maybe aren't familiar with the whole thing. What exactly is it that you're doing? And I will join in on this too, but why is it important that you are there as opposed to an establishment person?
Well, the thing that got me interested in it, once it was brought to my attention that some folks would like for me to run, was the experience I had in the 2016 convention as a Ted Cruz delegate. The rules of that convention were ignored. There was really no purpose to have delegates there. Votes weren't properly held. Roll call votes weren't permitted. There were people on the floor who would wait for any opportunity to get in front of your microphone and then hang on to your microphone. So you couldn't even, reach out, call up to the podium or whatever. I mean, it was just a mess. And, I'm very, obviously very happy for the outcome of that election and what's gone on in the last 4 years and a big supporter of President Trump going in. But that's not always going to be the case. We'll have a fun convention this time around.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be there, the three of us. So,
in 4 years, in 8 years, if people are going to take the time and the trouble to run little mini campaigns, to become delegates, to meet with their neighbors and friends and get people to come to these caucuses and vote, and then pay a significant amount of money to participate in the process should operate properly. Right. So that's one piece that got me interested. My understanding, and I'm learning more about it now that I'm elected, talking to current and former committeemen and women. There's also a great deal of, getting to know folks for fundraising, figuring out ways. One of the things that, how many people do you know that would listen to me on the radio, listen to you guys? If they get a letter from the RNC, the first thing that happens is toss it. I will donate money to causes I care about. I will donate money to candidates that I care about, but I've been turned off by the RNC. And so I think there's some real value going in with that particular perspective, saying, you know,
yeah,
become a group of people that actually motivate, inspire, and listen to the grassroots and adhere to the platform of the Republican Party.
Well, let me ask you this. It seems to me that, you know, when you talk grassroots, it sort of implies sometimes that, you know, maybe smaller, maybe, you know, not as, I don't know what, organized. But you didn't just win over the establishment guy. And this was, Eli Brammer has been a long type establishment guy from the Republican stronghold of El Paso County.
Well, he's former El Paso County chairman. He certainly tried to rig.
He's no newcomer.
Well, no, but he also had to, he sent out.
Well, let me finish my question. Well,
okay. He sent out an email showing his supporters, which was a who's who of
other establishment.
It had Ryan Call. It had the head of the
Chris
Cook, your former friend, and the head of the Borshas, Both Ways Bob, and the whole entire Borsha family, and you, Joe Webb. I mean, it was just an incredible one, and he ended up, what, 15% of the vote?
And you had, you didn't just win, you clobbered him, like I said.
And then you had another establishment guy who wasn't quite as establishment tainted, which is Bill Cadman. He got Gardner's support, which is another Both Ways Bob who shoved him in.
I mean,
and you crushed them. They could take their total together, and you still beat them. And at the other two candidates who were more grassroots, and the grassroots had 63% of the vote, and the establishment had 37%. Pretty amazing.
I mean,
really.
What's going on there, do you think?
Well, it's the thing that I've been trying to get people in charge of the Republican Party to understand for the 11 years now that I've been an activist. And that is that the grassroots, the people who actually show up at caucus, who actually participate as in the central committee, the executive committee, and all of those different roles are constitutional, conservative, liberty-minded people. And if you want to get their support in an election, if you want to get their turnout, their small dollar donations, showing up at events or whatever, then you need to listen to them and understand that we mean what we say.
Right.
Well, you were talking about getting an RNC letter and just ripping it up when you got it. I just got an email. Dear Chuck, you know, we haven't seen any money from you, from Ken Buck and stuff. And you know.
And you're not going to.
and you're not going to, because I'm going to give whatever money I have either to Trump or to one of the Neville's groups. I'm going to give it to whoever Patrick Neville. Fundraising one, I'm going to give it to that. I'm not going to give it to a group so they can add the money to that of Anschutz and Coors and make sure they never listen to you ever again. And that's another huge thing the Republican Party in Colorado has. I mean, we're on the grassroots. None of us will contribute. You haven't shown us that you deserve.
You keep losing. You keep losing elections.
There's that too. So the Republican Party has a long way to go, but I think your victory is one of the most encouraging signs we've had in a decade.
And the thing I would say in defense of the current leadership of the Republican Party is it is a big, slow, Titanic-sized, slowly sinking boat with a big hole in the side, and it takes a good deal of time to turn something like that around. I so love Christy Burton Brown as our vice chair.
Oh, I agree.
Very impressed by Ken Buck and many of the decisions that have been made. They're putting together a grassroots effort to make sure that Initiative 120 gets on the ballot by, in advance, having people call in, provide their information, so when the cure period for the due date too late abortion petition begins on May 15th, that there's an army of people ready to go to work to get the number of signatures needed to cure. And I've seen all kinds of projects like that coming out of the Republican Party. So it's really tempting to judge them in the light of the last 2 years, 4 years, 8 years. It's a slow thing to change, but I feel good that I've been part of that change every step of the way.
The Titanic never did manage to turn around. It managed to hit.
Some people got out in lifeboats. Great movie with what, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio didn't make it, but what's her name did. So, you know, I agree with you, Randy. I think under Ken Buck and some of those people, they're doing the best they can. But I think this election, because I really think it's hard to, you cannot under or overestimate just how important it was. I think your election there and the fact that you didn't just win by a little bit, it wasn't just that maybe you were more organized or better looking.
Because you weren't going to win by a little bit, because you either won by a lot or you weren't going
to
win.
You clobbered them. And I think that's got to be sending a message to the GOP leadership too, that's like, look, there is strong grassroots loyalty and support here in Colorado.
Well, what the message they got is, how do we buy off Randy Corcoran? That's the message they got.
It's not the anti-establishment vaccine.
You know, Julie, what you said about the so many people actually got to work. This wasn't just, oh, well, we know Randy because he runs a tea party or we hear him on the radio once a week or something. These are people who got excited and told their friends and sent out emails and made phone calls.
We did, right.
Yeah. And that's what it takes to create momentum in a state like Colorado for Republicans to win. You have to have good candidates as well. But it should be a message that gets sent to everybody. And I intend to repeat that message often when I have the opportunity. And already I'm getting calls from people on the national level. I was able to use Cory Gardner called this morning. We had a great conversation about moving forward to make Chuck happy, as you can see.
Chuck, a long-time Cory Gardner supporter.
I was a long-time.
The point is, he is going to be our Senate candidate, and he has to win to support the president. So, whatever your personal view or whatever, I think it's great that these conversations are happening. And
right.
I'm now going to be in a position to be listened to even more.
Right, right.
And so, you know, I invited you guys, and it was last minute, so you couldn't come to the Melania Trump video birthday celebration that we did on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And so they had this beautiful video and then an additional video of a bunch of people in front of the video, you know, wishing her from Colorado a happy birthday. And the next morning I get this call, well, now, how do we get this to the White House? Well, I don't know. But all of a sudden I had people I could call. And before I had all chiefs of staff and other people that were calling me back, and we got it into 10 people's hands. And I'm sure that the first lady got at least 5 or 6 copies of that to look at. And those are just little things that can really make a difference now, having somebody from my perspective in that position.
I agree too. You guys are going to be like this, you and Alania. No, I think it's great. And I think you have obviously the support, the trust of the grassroots people of Colorado. I mean, you were grassroots before there was grassroots, right? You've been working this a long time.
Well, but let's just look at the process. I mean, part of from the state assembly election of delegates, they had a quote unquote Trump one in which they had a lot of people who really...
Yeah, Trump slate.
A slate, a lot of people who really hate Trump in it. There's some people who like Trump in it, but there are people I know personally hated Trump and hate Trump today. And that's who the Trump delegation is. And you can look it all the way through. I mean, look at Adams County. Maria Weiss demanded that her candidates be taken off the Adams County mailer because Trump was on there. And she's a delegate. And so you have a lot of traitors in the Colorado delegation, and you have a lot of great people too, but you gotta, when you look over that list, you go, wow, that's amazing. Some people are telling the people in Washington some bad advice.
Yeah,
that's another good one. We've got somebody like you to give them good advice. They don't have to depend on whoever they're depending upon.
Yeah, and now I've got all these folks' phone numbers and emails, and I won't be afraid to share my opinion about, you know, who should be in leadership of the delegation, who should be on the rules committee or the platform committee or any of those kinds of things. If I'm not asked, I will volunteer.
If you're not asked, you'll just bring it up. Well, speaking of just bringing it up, I know we had talked with you earlier about a case, and this is a little bit of insider stuff, but it's important that people understand because sometimes the mechanics make so much difference. In Senate District 10, you represented as a lawyer, because you're a lawyer in your real life, a candidate, Larry Lister, is that it?
No, he supported somebody. He supported Steve Stink.
Larry Liston was the
incumbent. Other guy.
Okay.
On the ballot, and I represented David Stiver.
Okay.
And delegates who objected to the way the election, they filed an election challenge with the Republican Party.
Right. And where does that stand? Anything going on with that? Because Eli Bremmer was the one who was trying to make sure that, to rig it, I guess. Maybe that wouldn't be your word, that's my word. Where's that stand? Anything new on that?
Yeah, actually, the quick recap is, after a hearing in front of the executive committee, which ruled against the way the election results and ordered that that Stivers be put on the ballot. That decision was upheld by the Central Committee in the pre-meeting before the convention, the assembly a couple of weeks ago. And just today, before I came on with you, I was listening in as an observer, not as a participant, to a district court proceeding where the people representing Larry Liston had filed a challenge. Scott Gessler is their attorney, and they filed a challenge to enjoin the Secretary of State from actually adding Mr. Stivers to the ballot.
You're kidding.
No. And so I didn't have to get involved because the party itself decided to defend its order to Eli Bremer.
Wow.
To add Mr. Stivers to the ballot or certify him to the Secretary of State.
To be on the ballot.
Secretary of State was there today, a representative, saying, not really sure we should be here because we haven't been asked to do anything yet.
Right.
And it was very interesting to listen to the arguments between Scott Gessler and the attorney for the Republican Party, Chris Murray. The judge took it under advisement. It was about an hour and 15, 20 minute hearing. I did ask the judge at the end, since he knew I was on there, if maybe I could submit this for CLE credit. but it was just fascinating to hear the legal arguments about whether the district court should even be weighing in on this particular situation.
Well, and why are they fighting it? That's a bottom line question. Why fight it? Once again, I know it's a crazy concept, but that's just let the voters decide. I got to say it again. I know you probably can't say this, but not a good week for Eli Bremer. This has not been a good couple of weeks, but a very good couple of weeks.
Well, he didn't even make the delegate list. He's an alternate, which is great. This will be part of that. But I mean, it was an amazing one, which, you know, I think deep down, other than deep pockets, and obviously Scott Gessler isn't free, so somebody's paying, a lot of money or some money.
Yeah, that's true. To challenge it and fight it,
but that's what they have. They have money.
Your point is right. Other than showing, hey, we can do this, and we can bankrupt you if nothing else.
Right.
It's hard to wonder what the real goal is, because there's going to be an election in June.
Yeah.
Voters in SD10 can decide who they want to put on the ballot against the Democrat.
Right.
That's a good point. I mean, by the time the judge comes out with his decision, well, you know what I wonder if they're trying to do, and we've seen different people use similar tactics, though, in Lakewood, where what they want to do is try to extend the legal arguments past the point where the Secretary of State has to make a decision,
and then it's
kind of moot, right? Then they can say, oh, well, we can't get it on. So, listen, we'll let you go because we went, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the judge does understand that there's a deadline to certify this primary ballot, and so I think he's going to give an expedited ruling maybe even as soon as by the end of this week. So if I hear anything about that, I'll let you know so you can tell your listeners and your viewers.
Yeah, that'd be
great. Perfect. And finally, if you get invited to any kind of insider fun parties, let us know. You can sneak us in as your interns or something like that, okay?
Temporary legal assistance.
There you go.
I've been in many a courtroom. And yeah. Randy, thank you so much. Congratulations.
Thanks, Randy. That's a great victory. Just a great victory. Randy Corporan,
there. You're a national committee representative. I see Ben is listening, Ben Nicholas. And I don't know, Ben, if you want to come on or not, but if you want to pop in, Ben is one of the longtime grassroots guys. Ben, what do you think? What do you think about Randy's victory?
Well, I think his victory was great. I mean, it was overwhelming. It's encouraging to me as a grassroots person to see that someone on the grassroots level, such as Randy, did win. I mean, there was a lot of effort that was put forward to defeat him and put Eli Bremer in there. And Eli Bremer's been involved in so many bad things down there in El Paso County. It's just like, we just can't let that happen. So it's encouraging to me. I think it's this grassroots activity is spreading from county to county. I couldn't be happier about that. I finally have somebody that I feel is more in tune with our principles, which I absolutely think is the best way to do it. So hopefully he'll make a impact. He'll make some good suggestions. I'm an SCC member, so a state central committee member. I listened to his arguments that he was talking about. Between Stiver and the other gentleman. Wayne Williams was the counsel for the other person. It just fell on deaf ears, obviously. And so I just found in favor of Randy's, or Mr. Stiver, that he should be put on there, and that the chairman, Buck, he asked Eli Brimmer three times to sign off and put him on that. So he's digging in his heels. So I couldn't be thrilled more. I think we're making some progress here. We're going to see a resurgence of the Republican Party in Colorado. So it's encouraging to me.
I hope so, because, you know, here's again for folks who are like, you know, I know a little bit of this is inside baseball, but one of the reasons this matters in Colorado, and I'm sure it's happening in other states too, a group of establishment people who don't like Donald Trump, right? And they only like their people and people that they know are their people up front, right? Who will vote the way they want to vote, has had essentially a stranglehold on the state. They prevent people, they primary, you know, grassroots Republicans, they trash grassroots Republicans, they refuse to fund grassroots Republicans like the Nevilles, people like that. So to me, this is really encouraging. Well, and the worst part about it is they lose. They keep losing. In 2018, Colorado lost everything, right? Dog catchers, they lost, right? The Republican Party did. So I wouldn't mind the establishment Republicans if they won every so often, but they don't. And they don't seem to care. And I think it is so encouraging that now we're seeing that stranglehold. At least it's not like, it's a little bit looser now. And that was my reenactment.
That was very good.
And it's go ahead.
Now, I'm just going to say that not only do they do some underhanded things, but they also litigate. I mean, the false charges that I feel were false anyway, that they used against our former county chairman, Anil Mathai, was just one of those tactics. You know, and that individual was represented by the former state party chairman.
Ryan Call.
Ryan Call. And so,
it's interesting they didn't use Wayne Williams for the district court case. They brought in Scott Gessler. So they must not feel that Wayne is too good an arguer or something. That was interesting. Yeah. They abandoned him and picked up with former Secretary of State, because Wayne Williams was the Secretary of State and Scott Gessler was the Secretary of State.
They'd understand that whole thing. You'd think.
Let me clarify something there, guys, about that. Okay. Wayne Williams was on this call today. He was representing Larry Liston. And Scott Gessler was hired on behalf of the vice chair of the El Paso, of this SD-10.
Oh, okay.
Who's that?
I don't remember his name.
Okay. Mm. So it was, okay, so there were two different roles. But
two former secretaries of state.
I was going to make the point, Randy and Ben and everyone else, listening, that you'd think secretaries of state would have some kind of basic respect for voters, right? That's our job.
Let's have primaries. Let's have people voting.
Let people vote and let the
so
voters
So here all
decide.
They're trying to do is, we don't want to let the people decide. We don't between Larry Liston and the other one. We want to make sure they have no choice. And we, as former secretaries of state, want to make sure that they don't get a chance to vote. I mean, it's amazing. I mean,
his name is Carl Schneider.
Okay. Just to me, though, guys, it's just so wacky that you have these two secretaries of state who are like, we do not want to let the voters decide. Because we know what happens when that comes up.
We'll have another Randy Corcoran deal or something. You know?
Yeah. How far away are we from this primary?
June.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, so Randy's absolutely right. The voters in that county should make that decision.
Absolutely.
Not any former Secretary of State's.
All right.
Well, the court, now the judge will make it. Everything else in America.
The judge will rule, because the Republicans, neither one can be on the ballot. No, I'm kidding. This is Colorado judge.
Well, yeah, I kind of said that in a joking manner the other day, that they're probably going to eliminate both of them. Then they'll impanel a vacancy committee in SD-10.
And they'll elect a Democrat. Yeah.
That's right. They'll pick the Lister.
But we'll be watching it, and Randy is on it. Okay, guys, thank you. Hey, I want to switch gears a little bit, but speaking to grassroots, a lot of talk about, we got some updates on the Scrubgate kind of thing, but I want to bring in Greg Lopez. We had him on the show a while ago, and Greg was really one of the first prominent Republican leaders, I think, to start talking about, in a really public way, reopening Colorado to business. So, Greg, if you want to maybe turn on your camera, if you can. I'm not sure if we got...
Yep.
Oh, there we go.
There he is.
Greg Lopez. And then you were down at all the Reopen Colorado events, but we had you on, like I said, in... you've been, and you're running for governor of Colorado, which I really appreciate. That's get it going now. If nothing else, I think the work you have done here in the past few weeks on behalf of just the average Colorado citizen, whether they're a Democrat or a Republican. I tell you right now, I don't care who the other candidates are, you got my vote. I mean, and you come right out in front. Well, you haven't had your finger in the wind. Let's see, what do the polls say? You know, so talk to me about some of the events you guys had going on this weekend and what kind of stuff you were hearing from people there.
You know, we had a big event. You know, as you know, Ken Lundberg delivered some petitions to the governor. You know, we wanted him to know that there was a lot of people in the state that were wanting to reopen. So that, you know, it was kind of interesting. We went to the governor's mansion and the gate was locked. We couldn't even get into the people's house. So right. we had to go to the Capitol itself. You know, on Sunday, we had a lot of people show up because, once again, we don't want anybody to think that this is only a one-time event.
Right,
we're going to start looking at things where we are also going to go start and visiting with county commissioners. Because, again, the county commissioners have an integral role to play in their counties. And so this is going to be an ongoing thing. This is not going to be just one big rally and then we go home because we think there's been victory. And I hope the governor doesn't believe that, you know, because he relaxed some of the restrictions, that we're going to be satisfied. We're not going to be satisfied until we open up Colorado 100%. With no restrictions.
That's right.
Well, let me first say
phone number, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008 is the number to call. You can go to chuckandjulie.com if you want to come in via Zoom, because we'd like to hear from folks about how they're being impacted.
Yeah, well, your business or your job or you're trying to – but right now we've got this amazing patchwork going. We now have some counties, Montezuma County, which is in the southwest of Colorado, declared they're open. They only have 25,000. Eagle's open, but that's only with the graceness of the governor, who said, yes, you know, his health commissioner, who used to live in Eagle County or does, convinced them, as long as they slobbered on his feet, that they could open. You know, it's a slobber contest there.
I mean, it's a mess if you're a business owner trying
but
to figure
let
out.
Let me finish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
the other one, amazing one, is that Denver locked down tighter because yep. It wants to lock down. You know, it wants... You know, the mayor has been figuring every way he can to kill the city. So this is another way to try to kill the city. But that only works if everyone around him is also closing down, because then everybody goes, great, I just won't come to Denver. That's fine.
Yeah.
You keep closed down. Right. So they didn't really want to try to have all the county commissioners do it. So they figured out even a dirtier way. They had the Tri-County Health Department, which controls Adams, Douglas, and Arapahoe, mm-hmm. declare it, you know. And,
right.
And then there's a huge battle in Douglas County, who has a majority of Republicans on the county commissioner board. And so this last time, in one of the phoniest health decisions ever, they said, oh, well, Douglas can open, but not Arapahoe
or
Adams.
Here's the thing. If you're on, the way just you understand, so if you have a business there, if you're on kind of one side of literally County Line Road,
right,
if you have a business on this side of County Line Road, you can't open, but it is, you know, but it's way too dangerous you to open.
Way too dangerous.
I mean, that's the ridiculousness.
And I'll give Mike Kaufman, who I'm not a fan of, he said, this is all politics. This is not health. This is BS. They decided to do it because they're afraid they're going to be the bi-county health commission.
Right.
Adams is going to withdraw.
Look, I'm going to tell you, you know, like we were saying, you know, this is impacting families. You know, it's one thing to look at it from a health perspective, but these are healthy families that are being jeopardized for their future because they're shutting down. You know what? And it's interesting to me because, you know, you have counties that have zero cases. Right? Scattered across. And yet the governor is saying, you guys have to submit an application for me to allow you to open. Well, wait a minute. You would think the governor would say, all of you that have zero cases, just open. Right?
And we can close it down if we need to, which, you know, I'm going to say this. We don't even need to me anymore to get into the what I believe to be garbage in, garbage out of the models that turned out to be so wrong. Let's just even go past that. Here's the thing I don't get, because, you know, as a small newspaper, we have clients, right? So I can tell you in a pack of we've had clients declare bankruptcy, right? So they declare bankruptcy, then we aren't getting paid. Then the people that we would be paying to do home improvement project aren't getting, I mean, there is, and that's just in our family. But here's what I don't get. I don't get why it's okay for me. I can go in, say, for instance, and I can buy booze at a liquor store, but I can't go. We have a person, she has a tea store, right? But I can't go buy tea, right?
Right.
I can buy clothes at Target, but I can't buy clothes at Kohl's. I can get curbside pickup at Best Buy, but I can't get curbside pickup at Macy's. I mean, it's clear that that Polis is picking, and Cowdy's and everybody is too, just winners and losers. There's no sense to it, it seems to me.
There really isn't. You know, it reminds me of that, you know, Animal Farm, right? We're all equal, except some are more equal than others, right?
Some have better lobbyists than others.
Right.
You know, I went to Home Depot today, and it was interesting to me because there was a long line of people waiting to get in because they only allow you so many at a time. But there's two lines. There's one for the people that want to do their own jobs, their own repairs, and then you have the pros, right?
Oh,
and
people,
and the pros get in. They don't have to wait in line. They just go right through.
Well, they can't get infected.
Apparently not. No, but you know what? We can't pick winners and losers. I mean, that is just wrong. I don't care, you know, who you are, but when you look at the families and the livelihoods of individuals here in Colorado, you can't tell one person your job is not essential and your job is essential. Look, we all make a living by working. You know, so basically what you're telling me is if I'm not able to work, you're telling my family's not important. You know, I can't feed my family because you believe that my job is not essential enough for me to be able to provide for my family because you're concerned about how many people are going to come to into my business and so forth. And let me tell you this. I really question whether the governor truly understands the totality of this whole issue, right? Because you look at the numbers, you look at everything else, but most importantly, just because you open the doors to your business, to your point, it's traffic counts, it's customers, right? You need customers. And I was talking to a small business owner the other day. He was shut down, he does marketing. And I asked him, I said, how long do you think it'll take you before you get back to where you were before they closed you down? He told me a year. It'll take him a year to get back to the revenue levels that he was at before they shut him down.
If he's lucky.
That's right. You know, and that's provided they don't shut us down again in September or October.
We got to start now to say you can't do that. Well, and you're absolutely right. You know, you look at the variations across counties, the goofy rules that they have, and underneath it all, for instance, so Polis, who lives in Boulder against open space, says you have to stay within 10 miles of your home to recreate.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If you live in that, let's say you live in maybe Montbello. I mean, it makes a difference. If you live in Evergreen, that's cool, right? Not a problem. But other places, I mean, so you're right.
Who gave them the authority to do that? You can't go to a place outside of 10. What authority does he have?
Yeah. I know. You know, it's crazy. It's like putting people in exile.
If it's safe enough for me to go to a park 10 miles, you know, within a 10-mile radius, why isn't it safe for me to go to a park within a 12-mile radius? But I mean, is there some sort of magic infection virus barrier that sort of like evaporates from me if I, you know, it's like you're on an ankle bracelet or something? Right. It's just ridiculous.
It really is. I mean, you know, I'm hoping that people will start to step back and just listen to what they're hearing and have logical sense as to what are we doing here, right? And one of the things that I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be starting to travel the state. And to your point, I'm going to start videotaping small business owners and have them tell the story into the camera so that we can share, right? That other people can see the fear and the frustration and what's going on in their families because they've shut down.
Right. Do you have an update from Weld County, what they're doing today?
You know, I did talk to one of the county commissioners yesterday afternoon and they're full board. You know, I don't know that they're – here's what he told me. He said, look, we're not going to tell any of our businesses to open or not to open. What we're telling them is that you have a choice to make. If you want to open, whether you're a bar, restaurant, gym, whoever you are, if you want to open, we just ask you to look at the rules and the guidelines. Restrictions that they're the guidelines and decide whether you're going to use them or not.
Right.
I mean, that's a reasonable position to take from an elected official.
Well, and that's go bad because you know the people who do that are getting the pushback saying blood will be on your hands. I think even again, you know, if whatever the models may have said originally or didn't say, we clearly are past that point. We clearly, all the data now shows this is not that flus aren't serious, but this is it's no different than a flu, maybe even less than the flu.
Exactly.
And I think that,
well, it's equally bizarre that for anybody from age, I don't know, 5 up to age 50, the likelihood that coronavirus would kill you is incredibly small.
It really is.
Anything could kill you, but incredibly small. And we're telling all those people in the prime of their working life, you can't work, you can't save, can't buy a home. Based on what? Based on what?
You know, it's kind of like that goofy data, right? It keeps shifting. You really can't count on it. You know, and at the end of the day, the harm that we're doing to our economy is going to be years before we really recognize what it did to us. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and more than that, I mean, you know, the economy is a generic thing, but I think, you know, and like I said, call us up, 888-627-6008. The harm that we are doing to people, right, to their dreams there. I mean, there's a place by us. It was a guy he opened up and he was telling me, he goes, this is my life dream. I poured all my money into it. Yeah. And it was just like, it was his dream, right? And he opened up the day before all of this. And now he's getting a little bit of business, but you got to wonder, right? Yep. And it's like, seriously, the individual people and businesses that are being so hurt by this.
Well, let's get Barney online too. Barney, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Julie. I don't know the name of your guest, but
Greg Lopez.
Greg Lopez.
Oh, Greg Lopez. Hey, buddy. How you doing? I didn't recognize your voice. Wow. Damn, the guy ran for governor.
Yeah. He's doing it again.
Greg. Yeah. Well, Greg, your slogan could be, you don't need an ass clown to run the state. How about that?
I like that.
You're awesome, Greg. Julie. We do not ever want to see you without wine, because I would imagine if we asked Chuck, that's probably pure flipping hell. So Julie has to have her wine. That's why the wine stores are open. But let's keep in mind, most of these businesses, you say a year to getting back to where he's got to get. If you lose 2 months of income, solid, flat out everything, it's probably going to take you 2-3 years to get that back, if it ever comes back.
Right.
So, and the bottom line, so keep in mind, before this happened, you walk into McDonald's and the little turd behind the counter doesn't say hello, doesn't say thank you when you pay $20 for your crap that you just put in a bag that you're going to eat. But now the little turd can say, get the hell out of here! Too many people on the stuff. It just gave people a chance. My buddy went into a lawnmower store in Arvada, and everybody's wearing a mask. The guy basically shoved him out the door, spitting mad, and he wasn't spitting.
What? Oh, Barney, you there? You dropped out.
Okay.
Bandana, you're stupid. Your bandana's not going to save you from coronavirus. Sorry, guys. Love you, Greg. Good luck, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barney.
Thanks. You know, Chuck and Julie, I mean, 30% of the companies and the small businesses that are shut down are not going to open up again.
No, and you know that you're ahead of the federal FDA here in Colorado.
Yeah, they're not going to open. You know, and those that do open, you know, within the first 60 to 90 days, they're going to reevaluate. Am I really need to open? Am I going to shut it down because I'm not getting the customers that I need?
I love that, you know, one of the governor, I think it was governor's assistant, said, well, you know, we may allow people to have 50% of their restaurant capacity, maybe 25%. And you kind of go, moron. You cannot open a restaurant with those. There's a lot of fixed costs, and you're just not going to open. You're just going to go, I can't. You tell me I can have a maximum 25%? But he doesn't get it because none of them ever ran a business.
I totally agree with you. You know, and they talk about cutting down 50%. I have yet to hear that the state has cut down 50% of their workforce.
Oh no. Well, you know, Greg, let me ask you about this. This to me.
Well, that's the gentleman, Greg Lopez. Okay. He's helping head up Open Colorado, and is also a gubernatorial candidate, and was last time also.
And he's got our vote. One of the things too, I think this has really exposed, you know, it's not so much the haves and the have-nots, but it really has, I think, exposed the difference between sort of the elite people and bottom line and government workers, people who are getting a paycheck and those who aren't. People who are getting a paycheck are like, you got blood on your hands. Do this.
Right.
And you know, we're social distancing. We put a bar up on our fence. If you have lost your income, if you were looking at your business going under, you're not really thinking, oh, great, me and my neighbors are having a little bar on our fence. You're like contemplating some pretty significant depression and everything else. And all the people, I mean, to me, that's a thing. I think there is a portion of the country doesn't even seem to get or care about the pain they're causing for the rest of us.
I totally agree with you. I mean, that, you know what? They're not showing any compassion for those people that are struggling, right? They're not showing any type of remorse to say, hey, what can we do to help? Because you're right. you know, it's easy to spend other people's money, right? When that's what the government is doing, they're just giving money away like it's candy. So it's easy to do that. But those that do have a job, and I've spoken to some, you know, they're like, you know what? I get it, Greg, but I don't feel the pain because I'm still getting a paycheck.
Right.
Well, if everybody was shut down, right, if nobody was getting paid, I think everybody would have a totally different response to what's going on. And that's what we need to do. We need to give a voice to the small business owners that are struggling. We need to give a voice to those that are being left out in the cold, because they're the ones that are going to struggle the most, and their families are suffering.
Well, and you know, we were talking about, even at the newspaper, we had one client, longtime business in core part of Denver. It's just closing. Said the time and energy it will take me. He said, I'm kind of getting to be the age anyway, but the time and energy and the amount of money it will take me to get back to where I was, just not worth it. Another company that was, you know, teetering on the edge of bankruptcy, right? Maybe could have made it, maybe not, just said, forget it. You know, and the thing is all of those places employ people.
Yes.
So where are those people going to go?
Well, here's a big battle. It's going to be the battle royale, this next coronavirus funding, which we hope never occurs.
Yes.
Because one, it will get, you know, mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting and forever Democratic control. And two, it'll be to bail out the states and municipalities, particularly the ones.
Yeah, give the money to Colorado.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it's if that one doesn't occur, because then there are going to be a lot of government employees laid off. And then all of a sudden, they're going to be looking at people like Polis and kind of going, what did you do to us?
Yep, exactly.
Why did you do this to us?
And see, and that's just it. You talked about it earlier, Chuck, the supply chain, right? People have no idea how many people are involved when you go and buy a cup of coffee or you go get a haircut. How many people behind the scenes are relying on that velocity of money and that customer to buy that cup of coffee? Because it's all interconnected, you know.
And even now, this is the New York Times, of course, and it always do that. But the other side of it is now they're not getting remittances to Mexico, and Mexico is suffering because they're not getting any remittance from them because they're not having any work. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, you know, and I've had restaurant owners tell me, you know, Greg, I've reached out to my employees to make sure that they're doing okay. I'm asking them if they're ready to come back to work, and they're like, well, I don't know, because you know what? I'm kind of getting a lot of good money just sitting here from unemployment.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, and it is. So just a couple more questions. So when you go to these rallies, what are people telling you, and what do you, if you had the magic governor wand, right, what would you do?
You know, I would definitely, you know, what people are telling me is, Greg, why can't we open our doors? You know, the numbers are there. You know, we're not fearful. We're not wearing masks. We are not going to ask our clientele to do any of that because we don't feel that that's something we need to be concerned with, right? Why is the state not allowing us to open? And so we have to get into that discussion about, you know what, the state has certain obligations and certain responsibilities, but at the end of the day, elections have consequences, right? Yeah. We've got to elect the right people that are looking for the interest of everybody, not just the elite, not just the top, you know, business owners. And what I tell them is, look, what we need to do is we need to band together. We need to help our fellow man. When a business opens, we need to go in there. We need to spend our money. We need to make sure that we're visiting with them and tell all of our friends to go out there. Like I'm telling right now, everybody, go to Well County. Well County is open for business. Right. Go to Well County. Go spend some money there. Go let those small business know that we are really supporting of them. And I tell them, you know, call the newspapers. Call the radio shows, give kudos to the county commissioners for standing tall or representing their commissioners. You know, and for me, it's kind of like pulling off a Band-Aid, right? Okay. Either you're going to pull it off really fast and it's going to hurt a little bit, you know, or you're going to pull it really slow. And that's what we've chosen to do, right? They said, let's flatten the curve. Well, every time there's a little hiccup when you pull that Band-Aid, right, and you pull another hair, people scream and yell, and it's stopped, right? And it takes forever. And I'm a strong supporter of herd immunity, right? We need to get everybody out there so that we can all be able to build an immunization to this.
Well, it seems like we've done it backwards. Normally, when something like this happens, what you do is you quarantine the sick people, right? Not everybody. You just quarantine that. Let me just another question.
So quarantine all the people who are in no danger.
Right.
Quarantine all the people who are healthy and should be getting the antibody so they don't have to worry about this fall.
That's right.
And I mean, it's a weird scientific experiment we're doing on ourselves, run by politicians who have no idea and are happy to see us in the misery.
And I just want to defend their position. Yeah. What about, you know, Greg, I'm so pleased to see you out there. You know, we've talked to Patrick Neville. He's been doing some stuff too. A part of me kind of, and maybe just my perception, I kind of wish we had, though, a little bit more Republican leadership. Ken Buck, I think, has been good, but I kind of wish we had more Colorado Republican leadership kind of pushing back a little bit harder and supporting, you know, more.
Weld County.
Yeah, Weld County and at your rallies, things like, I mean, is that my perception or what do you think?
No, I'm with you. You know, you look around and you ask yourself, where are these guys? Right. Yeah. Where are our representatives? Where are our state senators? How come they're not having press conferences? How come they're not showing the data? How come they're not looking at what's, you know, I just got, just to give you an idea, Julie and Chuck, I got a letter on a Saturday that someone gave me from a director of a senior facility. And he sent this out to all the families informing them that the health department was changing some of the death certificates into COVID-19, yeah, versus just allowing the doctors to code them that they died of a heart attack.
Oh, wait, the health department was changing them?
Yes, the health department.
That explains why the health department, because I was trying to figure this out. So the health department, yesterday, 29 people who had died of COVID were resurrected, right? I mean, they knocked the number back down, and that, because it turns out they were duplicates. So that's pretty funny. I mean, it's not funny, actually. It's horrendous.
Well, they said in New York that every death certificate says COVID-19 on it. I mean,
it's crazy. You know, and we, the people, need to put a stop to it, right? And the only way, look, I tell people, it's between us and them. It is us against them, right?
Yeah.
They're the strong and the powerful. Yeah. We're the weak and courageous. We just got to be bold. We got to be courageous. We got to get out there. We got to mobilize. We got to create a movement. We got to let them know that, you know what, we're not going to go away. And folks, we know this. This is going to be a fight from now on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This fight will exist until who knows when. But until now, every day we got to fight. We can't rest. We can't get tired. We just got to make sure that we deliver that strong message.
Well, Greg, thanks so much for coming on. We love you.
My pleasure.
Where can people get a hold of your?
Yeah, you know, go to LopezForGovernor2022.com. You know, that's my website. You know, you can find a lot of good stuff in there. You know, I am, it's an active campaign. So if you want to donate, please feel free to donate. But this year, we got to get President Trump reelected. We got to get Cory Gardner elected. We got to get people back to work. We got to make sure people understand that, you know what, we're Americans and we got to get this economy back on track.
All right, Greg.
Thank you very much, Greg. Appreciate your time.
Good to see you.
Let's go ahead. Bye. We can open it up for phone calls now. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from folks, their experiences going through this. And then I wanted to mention one thing, too. Then we can talk about this, a wide range of. Oh, well, never mind. We'll go straight to. We've got Jacob calling in already. Jacob online, too. Hey, Jacob, good afternoon. Thanks for calling Chuck and Julie Show.
Hi. I just want to say it's amazing that Trump, who went bankrupt 4 times, wants to open up the businesses. And Polis, who's supposed to be this big-time businessman, wants to keep them shut.
well, it's interesting, isn't it?
You know, I'll say this. Here's what I think. What do you think about this, Jacob? Polis is – one of the problems I have is he kind of says, okay, we're going to reopen, and he's having looser guidelines. But in the same time, he's being not transparent. He's trying to charge the news media to see any of the data that he's basing the decisions on. And I kind of get the sense he's letting Democrat governors like Hancock kind of –
Mayors.
Going to carry the water for him and take the heat.
Well, they obviously work together. They obviously have one announcer, and the next day, the next one. Obviously, they're coordinating everything they do, and it is. And if Denver's going to close down, they want to force everyone around Denver to close down, whether they want to or not.
Right.
And they're getting pushed back in places like Douglas County and Weld County, and
obviously it's okay there. It's okay on this side of County Line Road, but not this side. You know.
And in the corner of Lakewood and Denver is a little city called Edgewater.
Yeah.
Most of the businesses in Edgewater are allowed to be open because they're necessary.
Oh, how convenient. That's great.
Now, do you own a business, or how has this affected you?
No, I've worked for Denver for years, for 22 years. And the guy, Hancock, never ceases to amaze me how just not smart he is.
Yeah.
I don't want to call him dumb, but he's just not smart.
He's got other interests.
When the governor went up to Pence at the Air Force Academy the graduation, you could see in Pence's, the way he was mouthing it, "I'm not bailing you out."
All right.
Well, Denver's going to be, you know, Denver's going to be okay by and large because it gets because it's a city and a county. It's going to get an enormous amount of revenue from the property tax, which is not going down. You know, they'll foreclose, they'll do whatever else. But places like Lakewood,
no, that's not true. Chuck. Yeah. The largest apartment complex in Denver right now is a third empty.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I know, but you're still paying that property tax.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, that apartment house can be 100% full or 0% full. You're still paying the property tax. Denver gotten such a huge tax base, but other cities who rely almost totally on sales tax are really going to be hurting.
Oh, yeah.
Really going to be
hurting. But they're not going to get the personal property taxes from all these businesses downtown because they're gone.
Well, they won't get the personal property. They'll get the property. Personal property tax is minuscule compared to real estate taxes that people have to pay. Yeah. So Denver can sustain it, but it's closing down everyone around them who are going to be incredibly hurt.
But because I think, Jacob, you have a point, though. There's going to be a ripple effect, too. And here's the trouble. Hancock's late. Oh, that's why he doesn't care, right? Yeah,
he never does. He wants to work out and chase women, and that's what he cares about. He's always cared about that.
I noticed that all the empty lots in near where I live, you know, where they were planning to build duplexes and triplexes or whatever, they're all up for sale now.
Oh, is that right? That's interesting.
It's gonna
be
interesting.
Really interesting.
And those are the long-term.
I spoke to one of the guys that are building near me. He says, no, he gave up on the project. He's just going to sell the lot. Nothing's going to sell now.
Right.
Nothing.
It's worrisome. All right, Jacob, thank you for the call, Jacob. Appreciate your insight.
Right, well, let's go to Scrubgate if we could.
I want to talk about Jan Cook's photo. So this is, talk about hypocrisy. So we talk about how the picture of the people we believe to be and our sources believe to be fake nurses went viral, right? With the healthcare workers, it's the heroic healthcare workers standing up against those stupid Trump supporters, you know, want to reopen Colorado and get
small
people back to work.
Jerks.
Viral. So Jan Cook takes a picture at one of the week, Jan Cook with Colorado Freedom Force takes a picture of a healthcare worker who gave her name, gave the place where she worked, who was at the rally to reopen Colorado. And her sign says, on the front lines of the COVID fight, reopen Colorado, right? And Jan Cook, I mean, sarcastically, because she knew it was going to happen, said, you know, hey, give me photo credit for this. So she sent it to all of the news organizations. She sent it to everybody. Zero. I mean, 75 times she was.
And the person looked like a real nurse. It didn't look like some buffed out workout person.
Right.
The scrubs look like real scrubs, which you wash them, you know, dozens and scores of time, and they lose, you know, they just look like scrubs, as opposed to the brand new scrubs that the other ones had on. I mean, one came across as an authentic photograph, other was totally fake.
Well, the one gave their name. The one gave their name. Here's where I work. You can verify it. And then, and I go back to the other one. Even the news organizations didn't even know who it was, didn't care. And they flat out said, it's not whether they were real nurses or not. It's the message that counts.
Yeah.
And we all know what message they want to send. And I go back to, I mean, just the fake news, the hypocrisy on that. That's all you need to know, really, right? Any picture of a healthcare worker who wants to go back to work goes nowhere. Even if it's a staged or fake healthcare worker, that picture goes everywhere and it gets reprinted over and over
again. And all the nurses are getting laid off at the hospital.
Right, yeah, the nurses are getting laid off.
Screw them.
Right, do you see the video you've seen? I've seen there have been some Twitter things about nurses kind of screwing around and doing dances because there's nothing to do at the hospitals, right? Unless you're in there for COVID-19, there's nothing going on. Those don't go viral either. Instead, you see all of these horrible tweets about the rough life. Not that it isn't rough, okay? It's got to be, you know, we have our old nanny is a paramedic. And actually, I worry about her. The paramedics, I don't know if there are any paramedics listening, and not to disparage nurses, but I mean, they're the ones who actually look like have to go rushing into people's homes,
and take them out and deal
with all of them. So, but again, I just think it's ironic that Jan got like 75 retweets, right?
Right.
So
it's they always got thousands upon thousands. I mean, you know, they don't look like nurses; they look like buffed out. We've identified that they worked at a strip club. The one guy has denied it; he got another one, but.
Tim Neville has texted me this. This is from Channel 4. Thank you, Tim. Denver health executives get bonuses week after workers asked to take cuts. So top executives at Denver Health received bonuses this month.
Of course they did.
Get this. bonuses of $50,000 up to $230,000, after frontline hospitals were voluntarily asked to take leave without pay to reduce their hours because there was no one at the hospital. So it's just, you know, again, the haves are continuing to have. Right. If you're an executive, you're getting your bonus. If you're, we saw even somebody did a good job putting like the companies that are getting some of the bailout money, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like Harvard, you know, where they've been shamed into giving the money
Chris
back.
And everything else.
Yeah, I companies. Mean, but, you know, if you're just a small business guy.
Forget about it.
Yeah, with a cigar shop that can't be open. And I go back to, again, 888-627-6008 if you want to call. Even without getting into the what I believe to be garbage data, right, which we're seeing now, the models, right, that we based all
Well, you had models that are garbage. Now they're trying to crook the actual statistics.
Right, so they're just adding exactly, and it's going to be going to have to have like it's going to be like the voter fraud, right, where there's more people voted, like more people die than live in the United States. How does that come out? But it seems to me again that if it's okay for me to go and it's safe for me to go into the liquor store, it should be safe for me to go into the tea store, right? If it's safe for me to buy clothes at Target, it should
That's a big corporation.
For me. To, well, but even, yeah, exactly.
That's a big corporation, though.
From the boutique.
That's a small business, you know.
Exactly. And those are the ones. And again, if I can have curbside pickup at Best Buy, why can't I, in Denver, why can't I have curbside pickup, again, at a boutique or something, a smaller shop?
It's all garbage. It's all who you know, who your lobbyists are. And I think this, you know, reportedly we have a report coming out of Magellan saying that everybody loves Polis. I really, you know.
Here's one. We'll talk about that probably next time, real briefly. And you know, I like the guys at Magellan. I mean, we have them on our show all the time there. But they have a survey, and I just kind of wonder about this. It said 29. Well, like everybody and their mother approves of Polis.
Right.
Like only 29% of the people approve of the job that Trump is doing.
Right.
Now, here's a problem I have with that: is that the numbers don't jive because number one, Colorado people would have you believe that no one in Colorado voted for Trump. I mean, bottom line, what 45% of the people.
Right,
so there's a significant number of people who did. Trump still enjoys in Colorado and around the country massive support.
More support than he did 4 years ago.
So I gotta wonder about their sample, and we'll get them on. And they're straightforward. I'll give them that. And they talk
about
talk about the sample. But I just, you know, and it depends on how you ask the questions and things like that. So I don't know. It's time to reopen. There are too many people being hurt too badly. We can do it, I believe,
protect
safely.
The vulnerable people in New York, they did just the opposite. They made nursing homes take people who had coronavirus, forced them to put them in there, and of course got huge death counts. So we don't protect those who we should protect, and then we spend all our time and money protecting those who need no protection. They're in their 20s. They're not going to die from coronavirus.
No.
It's those that are happy because the government gets to show you what they can do to you, you know, how they control your life.
We're all going to go shopping in Weld County.
Yeah, that's going to
wrap it up for us. I want to thank Randy Corcoran and congratulations to him. Greg Lopez running for governor. The show brought to you by ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Check them out every day. They're actually doing, I think, a really good job covering this from a conservative
angle. But go up to Weld County and go to a restaurant. In fact, I think we should do that.
We can't drive without. We would not ever do that. We would never go without 10 miles of our home. Ever.
We're 10 miles of within. We're in 10 miles of Weld County.
We
so we don't have to worry. We're all set. We're legal. We're perfectly ready to go.
Hey,
so I want to thank everybody.
What
do you want to remind everybody?
I want to remind folks, if you go to chuckandjulie.com, click on the little icon, subscribe to us on YouTube.
Yes, please.
Love to have
please
and thank
do that.
You to everybody
please
who has.
Do that. All right. Take care, everybody.